following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Chris Lizotte, let's welcome him.
This COVID thing has thrown us for a loop, but it's nice to be outside. I was talking to a friend of mine, and his pastor had said, look at the sanctuary we're in. The heavens are our ceiling, and the trees are the walls. And I just thought that was a really beautiful picture of even right now. And it's a blessing that we can do this. I lead worship at a little church in Laguna Beach, and the last couple Sundays we meet on the beach, and I'll stand at the water's edge facing the sand, and everyone's sitting in the sand, and the water is running up on my feet, and I get to just strum in that place, and all of you get to look at the ocean and the sun going down at 7 o'clock at night. And it's I don't know, maybe God is opening up our vision to his sanctuary in a new way. I don't know, but I know one thing that's been really great, my wife and I have been married 32 years. We have 3 sons, and my sons have were raised up in the church. We tried our best and still trying our best. But as we all do, we have times of drifting, and our kids need to find Jesus for themselves. And my oldest son lost his job. He had a career, really good job that he succeeded at, and he was really into making his mark, and it all got pulled away from him. And but it's brought him back to Jesus, and it's been so beautiful to see. And as a parent, as you parents know, a lot of you out there have kids that are going off this way or that way, and the proudest moments of life are, I've told my kids, I don't care what you do for a living, I want you to pursue your dreams, but the most important thing you can do is to have relationship with the one who made you, and that's Jesus. And that if you have that, then you have peace, and if you have peace, you can go through trouble. And because we all can't, we don't escape the trouble, but the peace carries us through, and the hope of heaven, which is unbelievably important right now. I don't know how you mentally can survive in these times we're in without the hope of heaven. But if anyone doesn't know what that means tonight, you're going to find out, and it'll be the most satisfying decision you can make is to say yes to Jesus and yes to that hope that is freely given for all of us, and we none of us deserved it.
Well, good evening, Refuge family. My name is, I still have my glasses on, let's take those off. My name is David. I am the high school pastor here at Refuge, and I'm really, really excited to be here with you guys tonight. It's always a privilege when I get to teach to adults. I love the youth, but it's always fun to be hanging out with some adults. If you guys have been coming here the past month, you guys have known that we've been addressing the big questions of life. Chase, our young adults pastor here, picked these different questions. Questions like, how can you say there's only one true faith? Or how can you say there's only one way to God? If God is so good, why suffering? Why all the suffering in the world? Or how can the Bible even be trusted at all? And last week, Pastor Fausto looked at the question, isn't the church responsible for so much of the injustice that we see? And so we call these the big questions because they're big questions, right? And I don't want to do a show of hands right now, but what I find so interesting is that so many people who love the Lord and who desire to live a life that honors him, so many of you have gone through these questions yourself. You've struggled through them. Maybe you are here tonight and you find yourself still in the midst of that struggle. I'm still struggling with some of those questions. And before we even dig into the topic tonight, I just want to invite you and say, Jesus can handle them. Any question, any doubt, he can handle all of it. He truly, truly can. And so I would say, don't shy away from seeking truth. Don't shy away if you're feeling, you know, with your questions, your doubts, even if it's uncomfortable at times, allow the Lord into all of that and just watch what he does. Now, the question that was assigned to me tonight was, why can't I be free to live as I see fit as long as it doesn't harm anyone, or as long as I don't harm anyone? And like every other question that we're seeking to answer during our resonance nights here in the parking lot, because of the time that we have, this won't be a deep dive into this topic. If you guys are wanting to know more about it, I would love to talk with you afterwards, and I could point out some really awesome resources on all of that. But having said that, if you guys would join me in prayer, and we will get started. So Father, God, you were just blessing my heart as I was standing behind the stage on that last song, Peace in the Middle of the Storm. So true, Lord. We thank you that that peace comes directly from you, Jesus. God, I can't help but to think that there are some people here that you've brought, some people that maybe are still asking these tough questions. And Jesus, I pray that you would meet them. I pray that you would meet some of them for the first time, and I pray for the people that have walked away. Jesus, I pray specifically for them that they would hear your voice tonight and they would turn back to you and turn from the lives that they're living right now. We thank you for who you are. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit in a fresh way, and I pray that you would fill my brothers and sisters afresh tonight. We love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. June 24th, 1994, good year, not just because I was turning four then. I know you guys are like, whoa. But also a movie by the name of Lion King came out. Now listen, arguably the best Disney movie of all time. If you guys have any questions about that, talk to me afterwards. I'll pray for you and we can go from there. There comes a point in this movie, and we've all seen it, right? There comes a point in this movie, Simba, he runs away because Scar kills his father, right? And then Scar tries to pin the death on Simba. And so Simba runs away. And as he is running away, he meets these two characters, Timon and Pumbaa. You guys know what I'm talking about. Yes, of course, right? We've all seen it. They meet Timon and Pumbaa. And as soon as, I should say Timon and Pumbaa, as soon as they meet Simba, they realize, dude, something's wrong, right? Something just happened. Simba is like upset, right? There's something that's going on. He's super distraught. He doesn't want to be bothered by anything or anyone. Now, from that point on in the movie, you fast forward literally like a minute, maybe a minute and 15 seconds, right? I'm not a fan or anything. Just like a minute. And you get to that iconic Hakuna Matata scene. You guys with me? You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, well, I'm not going to make you sing it. Don't worry. That song will be stuck in your head for sure. At first, Timon and Pumbaa, they start singing it. And Simba's looking like, dude, these guys are loonies, right? Like, what are they doing? And within like 10 seconds, Simba's like, all right, not that bad. And then he buys in to the motto and to the song. I'm just going to read part of the lyrics, right? Just to really drive them home in your minds. Says it means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. Right after this, there's that scene where they're like walking on that log and they're just putting the head back and forth, right? And it just paints this picture. Right after the song, it paints a picture of no responsibilities and like no constraints. It's just fun 100% of the time. Do what you want, when you want, means no worries for the rest of your days, right? There actually comes a point in the song, mid-song, where Pumbaa leans over to Simba and he's like, these words will solve all your problems. He says that. It's crazy to me that a children's movie from the early 90s, right, could capture the prevailing thought process here in 2020, or I should say at least that scene does. Just do what you want. If it feels right, it is right. People looking for the problem-free philosophy and buying the lie that it comes from just doing whatever the heck you want to do always. People today saying things like, what right do you have to tell me what I am doing is wrong? Maybe you heard it this way. Let me do me and you can do you, right? You've heard that? Or you do you, boo, right? We hear that all the time, right? Saw this on Pinterest yesterday. Yes, I know what Pinterest is. Said this, my life, my way. I am living my life the way I see fit. No one's approval is needed, nor asked for. If you don't like it, then stop looking at it. It really has nothing to do with you. Man, is that not the idea or the question that we are desiring to answer tonight? Why can't I be free to live as I see fit, as long as I don't harm anyone? Now, at the heart of our question, the question tonight, the questioner is dealing with the issue of freedom. I am free to do what I want, when I want, and don't tell me otherwise. The way Jesus defines freedom and the way the majority of our society today defines freedom, wildly different. It's different. And I believe this is where the problem lies. There's a man by the name of Timothy Keller, and he says it this way. I absolutely love the way he describes this. He says that our culture has come to define freedom as the absence of any limitations or constraints on us. By this definition, the fewer boundaries we have on our choices and actions, the freer we feel ourselves to be. Quoting a philosopher now, his name's Charles Taylor, he said this, let each person do their own thing, and one shouldn't criticize the other's values because they have a right to live their own life as you do. The only sin which is not tolerated is intolerance. If our culture defines freedom as the absence of any kind of limitation on us or constraints on an individual, then people would have a problem with the Christian worldview. And this is because at the heart of the gospel, really at the heart of the message that we proclaim and we preach all the time, you have a laying down of your rights, your entitlement, your desires, seeking to follow the one who modeled that perfectly for us. So the skeptic or maybe somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus, they can look at the church, they can look at believers, right? And they can say, Christians are free? Are you kidding? Like, are you joking me right now? Christianity is a giant straitjacket. It does a lot more harm than it does good. How could you say there's any freedom in Christianity when there are so many limitations or constraints, or maybe they would say rules? Again, the problem lies, I believe, with how we define what freedom is and what freedom is not. Towards the very end of the Gospel of John in chapter 8, you have Jesus and he's doing his thing and he's teaching, he's bringing truth. Right? And people are coming to start to understand, whoa, okay. And he's talking to these group of Jews, Jewish people. And these Jews, they believe the words of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says to them. This is John 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's our word again. If you hold to my teachings, or other translations would say, if you abide in my word, or if you remain in my word, you won't just recognize what truth is, but that truth will set you free. You will know that truth, and it will absolutely set you free. Jesus made a claim there. He's making a claim, and he's saying freedom, that true freedom comes by abiding in him, abiding in his word, where we can be in his presence, where there is fullness of joy, as it says in Psalm 16. But listen, in order to be a disciple, in order to be one who abides in Jesus, again, it takes a dying to ourselves. It takes you and me laying aside the rights we feel entitled to at times. And you might say, well, that's harsh. Well, Jesus has it in harsher language. He says in Matthew 16, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, listen, must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. He doesn't say, hey, you know, deny yourself when it's like really convenient, you know, and then I'll give you slack. You know, he says, no, if you want to be a disciple, you must do this. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Our culture's path to freedom, its road to freedom today, the prevailing thought is, again, do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it, right? To truly be free means not having to answer to anyone about anything. But the Christian's path to freedom, it's paved with the cement of self-denial and submission to God and to his word. Two wildly different paths. But the question I guess I want to be posing tonight is this. Are both those people, are both those camps, both those camps of thought, are both of them truly experiencing what we would call freedom? The person that insists on always doing what they want to do. The person that believes they are the master of their own destiny, right? The person, the Hakuna Matata person, right? Means no worries. I'm just gonna do me, right? If it hurts people, whatever. If it doesn't, cool. But I'm not gonna really look out for anybody but myself. Is that person or are those people, are they experiencing true freedom? And I want to answer it kind of in two ways. You're gonna be like, whoa. I would say to that question, yes, but no. Okay, and I want to explain a little bit. Yes, but no. Yes, you are free to make choices, right? Everyone knows that. We're all free to make different choices, and you can do what you want. You can. But also, I would say no, and here's the reason. Because the very freedom that you're searching for, or that people are searching for, as people indulge in whatever lifestyle they desire, that freedom will evade you. And that's because true freedom, or what I'm going to call biblical freedom, apart from Christ, it's an illusion. It's not there. It was Augustine. He said this. He said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and the heart of man is restless until it finds its rest in thee." The human heart will never experience true freedom apart from knowing the author of true freedom. It was Jesus. We may catch glimpses of it, but it's only a shadow of what is offered in and through Christ. At best, it's short-lived, it's temporal, it's every time you buy an air mattress, it's the first time you use it and there's a hole in it, and you're like, dude, what? Right? And you get tape and you put it on it, and it's like, yes, that lasted for like a minute, maybe, and then it doesn't work anymore. Eventually it'll fail. Can I be free to live as I see fit? Yes, you can. That is your right as a man or woman created with the ability to make decisions. But again, I truly believe you will be hard pressed to find any evidence that living as you see fit will actually lead to true freedom. It'll actually lead to like liberation. I want to say this, okay? Christian or not, religious or not, every single person here tonight, every single one of you, all of us, we've gone through things in our life that we probably wish we had never gone through. Luckily, the Lord is gracious and he is good to redeem all of it. But there's still stuff in our lives where we're like, man, that was a bum deal. Like, I wish I didn't have to deal with that or go through that. Some of you here have endured terribly horrific things in your life. Awful things. Things that have taken years and years to fully process through. Maybe some of you here are still processing through those things. Maybe there's a group of you here who have not revisited them once. And just the idea of me talking about it right now is bringing anxiety in your heart. I want to say this, and I want to say it in love, because I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstood on this point at all. Living your life, doing whatever you want to do, regardless if it hurts somebody or if it doesn't hurt somebody, it will not and it cannot bring the freedom that your heart, that my heart longs for. So many people are trapped in this vicious cycle of pursuing what they think will lead them to ultimate freedom, only to come up empty-handed over and over and over again. Some of you guys have a colorful testimony, and you have known that cycle very well. I know so many people right now currently who are looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places. People that I deeply love, people that are close to me, people that I care about, continually opening up the wrong doors and going down the wrong paths, only to find, again, emptiness. Maybe, as I said that, you're thinking of somebody. Maybe somebody came to your mind. Maybe it's a friend, a coworker, a family member. Or maybe that's you. Maybe I'm talking about you tonight. I don't know. I don't know who God's brought here tonight. But I pray that those people would see that what they have been looking for is found in Jesus. I have to say this, every single believer here knows that because you've lived it. As I said, some of you maybe have that testimony where you came to Jesus really early. And then some of you, like myself, are just stubborn, you know, and we needed to get kicked down a couple of times before we're like, oh, hey, Jesus. David in Psalm 32, he says this, he says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. I want to read this because it's just so good. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you are saved, or you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, there is no greater freedom than knowing your Creator, the one who gave absolutely everything for you, knowing that that Creator is the one who made a way for you to be made right with him. There is no greater freedom than experiencing the filth in the sins that we carry and seeing that Jesus and by his blood has blotted that out completely. There is no greater freedom than responding to this creator, waving a white flag and saying, I surrender. I am all yours. I am completely yours, and my life is yours. It's like Augustine, again, I want to quote him again, said in his Confessions. He said this, he said, how sweet at once it was for me to be rid of those fruitless joys which I had once feared to lose. I want to read that again because that's so powerful. How sweet all at once it was for me to be rid of those fruitless joys which I had once feared to lose. You drove them from me. You who are the true, the sovereign joy. You drove them from me and took their place. You who are sweeter than all pleasure. That statement comes from a man that has absolutely experienced what we call true biblical freedom. And that freedom comes only by a relationship with Jesus. I want to close with this. I want to quote Tim Keller once more. As I was studying, as I was looking into this topic, I read this and I'm like, man, how can I put this in my own words? And I'm like, nope, I'm just going to read it because it is so powerful. Listen to how awesome this is. He said, we were built to know, serve, and love God. If we try to live for anything else, it leads to slavery. But when we begin to live for God and follow his will, we find that we are actually becoming who we were meant to be, realizing our original design. We are a sailboat finally being put out into deep water. I love that phrase. When a Christian grasps how Jesus saved us at infinite cost to himself, how he emptied himself of his glory and took on a humble form to serve our best interest, it creates a grateful joy that inwardly moves us to want to please, know, and resemble him. Our happiness gets put into his happiness, and serving him becomes our perfect liberation. He goes on and finishes and says, Christianity then is the only religion that claims that God gave up his freedom so we could experience the ultimate freedom from evil and death itself. Therefore, you can trust him. He sacrificed his independence for you, for me, so we could sacrifice ours for him. And when you do, you will find that it's the ultimate, infinitely liberating constraint. If the sun sets you free, you will be free indeed. I'm going to have Chris come back up, and I want to pray for you guys. You guys join me in prayer. Father, Lord, I know with a group this size, there are definitely a bunch of different people represented here. You have people that grew up in the church, maybe have stayed solid their whole life. You have maybe people that brought friends. You have people that come to church right now. Maybe they're here because they love the community, but they don't know you yet, Jesus. And Father, I just pray, regardless of where anybody is at tonight, if there is anybody that does not know you, not know about you, not being familiar with you, but if there's people here that don't know who you are, Jesus, I pray that by your Spirit, you would completely draw them to yourself. Lord, I pray if there's people that have been looking for that freedom, that liberation that they think they can find just by getting whatever they want at all times. Father, I pray that you would show them the emptiness of that. It's just an endless pursuit that ends empty over and over and over again. And instead, would you just show them, Jesus, that you are the source of what they've been looking for, the freedom, the love, the grace, all of it, Jesus. Father, again, I just pray by your Spirit that there would be people here tonight that turn to you, turning away from their sin, repenting, and coming to you, Jesus. Would you do that work now as we just respond to you and worship? We love you. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for what you have done, and we praise you for what you continue to do in our lives. We do not deserve it, and yet you give it freely. Thank you for grace. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Chris and Rocky, thank you guys for being with us tonight. Are you glad you came? Man. God spoke to some of your hearts, there's no question. And, you know, a lot of times you just take that and you kind of draw it down from your head into your heart and you say, yes, Lord, I'm gonna walk with you. This is a turning point. I believe that this is going to be a night that some of you in here look back on and say, that was the night, July 29th, 2020. When something new came alive in me and I came back to Jesus, whatever it was, you let that thing drop and you just let go of it. And you'll walk away and that work is done. And I think it's important to tell somebody about that. Tell a brother, a sister, a family member what happened to you. I was sharing my story today with our staff and I talked about the fact that I went home after I got saved and I said, Mom, I gave my life to Jesus tonight. I was 18. I was 2 months past my 18th birthday. I said, Mom, I got saved tonight. And I'm not sure what it means, but I know my life is different. I gave my life to Jesus. And she said, well, Billy, I don't care what you do. Just don't get baptized again. And that, well, I came out of a Catholic tradition. And I didn't know the Lord at that time, but I did that night on November 9, 1970. I wrote my dad a whole gory story. How many of you guys got a gory story? Anybody else? I told him the whole dirty story about what I had become. We were 2,000 miles apart. I told him, Dad, I gave my life to Jesus, and this is what I was, and this is what I am. He wrote me back, and he said, well, Bill, I'm just sorry to hear that you left the church. And I went, I don't think I did that. I think I came to the family of God. But I told them, tell somebody what God has done in your heart. If you'd like somebody to pray with right now, the response tent is over here for you. They're nice people. Look over there. Look at those nice people over there. They would love to pray with you. And like I always say, if the Christian you came with, you might want to turn to them and say, hey, would you pray with me? I want to tell you what the Lord has spoken to me tonight. And so the response tent is there and the table over there with shirts and what do we call that? The refuge swag table over there. But there's also a couple of CDs from Chris. And did you love the music tonight? Oh, man. The two songs that I requested, thank you for doing those. Joy was at home watching, and I also kind of live fed it to her, but thank you guys for being here tonight. So this one, Grace and Mercy, and this one, I got to put my glasses on to read the title of this one, Power in Weakness. And this has a couple, those two favorite songs of mine are on that. So thank you so much for being here tonight. Let's stand up together, and I'm going to ask you to do this. Not to shake hands with anybody. I guess some of you have a comfort level with that and you have shaken hands and hugged and all that stuff too. But just kind of do a 360 and nod at a few people and wave at a few people right now before I pray our final prayer, okay? Go ahead, do a circle. Maybe say, so glad you came. And now let's do this. Why don't you just take your hands and just lift them a bit. You don't even have to close your eyes. In fact, it's a beautiful night to lift up your eyes. But Father God, we are thankful that we live under friendly heavens. And Lord, that you love people. You love people so much. You sent Jesus for us. Thank you for the message we heard tonight, Lord, that the only place we'll ever be free is when we're surrendered to your will for our lives. So forgive us, Father, for forcing our way at times and making a mess. But thank you for dropping in to that mess with your grace and your invitation to come to you. So, Father, we just reach our hands towards you, and we say that we love you, Lord, and we want everything that you want to do in our lives. We want that to be done, so we surrender to you tonight, Father, and just pray for our brothers that ministered to us tonight in music, Lord, and really in a prophetic way. You said things through those songs to us, so thank you for Chris and for Rocky, Lord, and bless them as they go on to whatever the next assignment is you have for them. And bless us as we hang out with one another, Lord. And we just give our lives to you. And thank you for meeting us here on this parking lot tonight. In Jesus' strong name, thanks for making it a sanctuary. And everybody shouted, amen, amen. Lord bless you and keep you. If you want to stick around and help us take down some of this, we would love that help. But God bless you. Grace and peace.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.